Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to 2019, first podcast of the year.
Yeah.
Flats and Shanks.
Yeah, it's a weekly podcast that's had a couple of weeks off. I mean, people have been
it's
going...
It's Christmas, mate.
They've been going blimmin' mad in the
oh
streets.
Oh, my God.
Have. When's the next pod out? Oh.
The text we've had through on the phone that I can't find.
On the burner?
Well, have you got it? Have you got it?
I think my kids are using it now.
Have you got it? I can't find it anywhere.
One of my kids appears to have... Was it an iPhone?
No.
Because I walked in this morning and one of my kids appears to have an iPhone. I don't know where that's come from.
Father Christmas, probably.
Yeah.
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 That's where
probably,
it's come from.
Probably, yeah, probably come...
But Happy New Year, everyone.
Bought it at school. Yeah, Happy New Year. This is Flats and Shanks. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, Tom.
And we're back.
All right, Tom.
Yeah, I'm good.
We got a bit... firstly, let's tell them where we are. We are at... For reasons, look, we won't go into the reasons. Logistically, you know how we're a mobile pod, mobile, agile, hostile pod. We are at Dunkerton Cider, just in Cheltenham. And that is not, I mean, it is a plug because we're saying it, but we're not here for Dunkerton Cider. We're here to meet our mate, Rod, and then who's building the whole place, this new site, but also... to go on to a meeting afterwards, which we're not going to tell you about because it's really boring, but it just worked. And Tommy, do you want to tell... We're actually drinking a bit of cider with our pod. It's really nice, isn't it?
We're trying a premium organic cider, a Dunkerton's one, obviously. It's 6.8, so not quite strong enough for me, but it'll do. It's lovely, actually.
But
we're drinking responsibly. It's a small glass. It's lunchtime. It's Monday.
But it's strong, it's sweet, it's bubbly, and it's transparent, which is just how you like your
And for those of you that are trying to do a dry January and you're under 40, grow up.
I know. Just you don't have to get smashed every week. Just have a drink, have a glass of wine. What's wrong with you? But also, this is not a plug. It's just quite handy. But having said that, we've now plugged them, and I think there is a good chance we're going to leave here with A, no cider, B, no little special Dunkerton's glasses. Like, we got these little tankard here. Should we nick them?
I thought of that as soon as Bean bought them out.
Yeah, the man Bean who runs a business. Yeah, we... As soon as he walked in with them, I thought, you ain't getting those back, chief.
Oh, he's mad as a... Yeah.
He ain't getting them back, is he?
No chance, mate. No chance. But it's actually very nice. I mean, I'm not a massive cider drinker. I will drink it. I like it.
You are quite big.
But...
What, are you 6'2"?
Bubs would love this.
Yeah, I bet he would. He could dive into
all he drinks.
I would say dive into one of those massive tanks. We're actually overlooking, we're in a mezzanine level, or in the trade we call it a mez, overlooking the cider press, which is a massive, massive room full of massive tanks.
And am I right in thinking that the owner of Dunkerton Cider is Julian Dunkerton?
Yeah.
Who also set up...
Super Dry.
Have you got any Super Dry gear?
Doesn't fit me.
I knew you wouldn't have any.
Why?
Because...
Say it.
They don't sell it in Milan.
Milan. In Milan. No, I am not wearing. I'm not wearing. I'm not.
You're not a super dry bloke, are you?
I'm not a swanky clothes wearer, though. All right, I've got a pair of jeans on. I've got a wicked pair of boots on, to be fair.
Which probably cost more than my entire outfit.
No. Yes. Yes, but they cost a lot 12 years ago, boy.
Okay. Anyway, we're here at Dunkerton's.
I've got a cheap T-shirt and a cheap sweatshirt on. So up
yours. We're sat with Freddy Krueger in the background. He's just typing away on a keyboard.
Yeah, we're not alone. Do you want to tell him who's really here, Tom?
Yeah, it's ex-Worcester Warrior, Harlequin, Saracen, Bath.
Didn't play for Bath, just worked there.
Did he not?
No.
Oh, I just assumed he did.
No, Bath's a big club. He'd never have got a contract there.
Okay, Matt Powell. He's just pretending to work, paying us no attention, but knows that we're talking about him.
We got an extra mic in the back of the whip. So we did ask Matt if he wanted to be involved, and he said no. Do you want to just have a mic just in case? No. And as Shank said, we're only trying to make a name for you and create you. But actually, if he doesn't want it, stick up your ass.
You know, he does a little bit of MCing work.
And he's really, really good. But do you know what, Tom? You and I are going to keep getting those gigs, and he's not, because he's happy on his mid-level laptop.
He's happy on his HP laptop, deleting his web history, private browsing.
But Matt Powell is two things. He's A, the contact that got us use of this room before we go on to our meeting later on together. The three of us having a meeting about something we'll tell you about one of these days. And also was the scrum half in Dowie Morris's 2004-05 Sky Sports Dream Team.
And I've never seen a jumper with elbow pads on, actually.
I quite like it.
I don't.
I mean, don't you?
No. I mean, it's working for him because he's using it on a chair and
a couple of he's things about
purchase on it.
We're gonna post a picture. Bean from Dunkerton's and Rod the Builder asked if we'd do a picture outside the door later on, which we'll do. Shanks will post a picture later on or whatever. But a couple of things. One is I've got a sweatshirt on with what some people call an Airtex, I call a polo shirt underneath it.
With your collar up.
And I've got my collar up, a la Clive Woodward.
Or Cantona.
Or Eric Cantona. What do you think of my collar being up, Tom?
My dad's a lawyer. That's what it says to me.
My dad's not a lawyer, though.
Henley Regatta. Catalina Wine Mixer. That's
you know,
what it says.
You won't remember this guy, but Andy Dunn, who's a fly half Irish.
Arrogant.
Great guy. No, Andy Dunn.
No, that's what this. These are words that come into my
brain. Oh, right.
Brain.
Yeah. Okay. I did. Andy Dunn is a Irish fly half, played for Bath for a year, lived with me in my flat. Wonderful, wonderful little man. Very funny. I once.
Pretentious.
We went out for breakfast and he's like, asked about my collar. And I was like, he goes, why is the collar up? Why is it up? It's the one thing I don't like about you. Why is it up? And I don't know why. It's like, you look like Clive Woodward. And I was like, what does it make you think? He's like, it makes me think of Clive. And more than that, it makes me just think acute Bellendery. I was like, yeah, acute Bellendery. But ever since then, I don't mind a collar up. However, what I will say is you are wearing something that I often wear, which is a light grey, like a pale grey jumper, right, over a check shirt. You look very smart. Someone said something to me recently. I'm going to tell you what they said. I wear jumpers like that. Someone said to me, a pale grey jumper is never flattering to anyone. Do you want me to tell you who said that to me, Tom?
I can guess.
No, you can't.
Mark Durden Smith.
No, better. Who would know best? Who would know best?
Lee Best.
No. Who would know more than this about anyone? More about this than anyone. You're going to think I'm name dropping. Don't care. Get your catching mitts out.
Go for it.
David Gandy, male supermodel.
All right. So he never wears grey?
Doesn't wear pale grey jumpers.
I bet you I can find a picture of him in grey.
I said, do you never wear it? And he said, not unless the cash is right.
Well, sponsored, mate. Anyway, why on earth has Matt Powell got elbow pads on when all he's doing is chat roulette?
Well, he's a clumsy clot, isn't he?
He's on chat roulette. How have you been? What have you been up to over this period?
Hang on a sec, right? Chat roulette. We once were in a hotel the night before a game, bored. Chat roulette was new. So a load of us, Ollie Barkley agreed to it, but we tied him up. And we didn't, because we were going to strip him naked and tie him up. And we thought, oh, we'll get into trouble. So we left all of his bath kit on with all the sponsors on it and the official kit that you couldn't buy in the shops as well. In this hotel, like the Newcastle Gosport Hilton or whatever it was. So we tied him up and we took loads of duct tape round his mouth, tied his hands and his feet up. And we like, I forget what happened, but we roughed him up a bit and made him look like he was in really bad nick. And as it put onto him, we just had a note above his head that just said, help, help, help. Just the night before a game, just bored.
But how many like windows do you have to go through till you find a woman on there?
Yeah, but you're some lovely blokes doing some good work. Doing some good work on there.
Another one. Oh, another one.
Doing some good work.
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
Oh, backhand. Well done.
Anyway, what did you ask? No, what have you been up to? Come on, what have you been up to?
Nothing. Nothing.
Cool. Moving
on. Nothing. The reason I've been up to nothing is because I've had a baby, as you know. He's 4 months old.
Yeah.
And he's not been very well. So.
Yeah, I didn't know about this. Michelle told me.
I had to take him into hospital. Because
what was his problem?
Bronchiolitis. So, the flu, essentially, for a little boy, for a little baby. And he couldn't feed properly, so I had to go in. They put a tube up his nose so they could feed him. So, stayed in the Heath Hospital for 3 nights. But prior to that, he wasn't very well anyway.
Did you go private?
Well, you don't go private, do you, when it's A&E?
No, good. Just saying, because I'm a socialist.
Yeah, I know you would. But
no, I would not.
Okay, went to... you probably got a doctor in your house.
On what call. Do you mean? In the staff quarters.
So I had to take him to A&E, and then he was obviously had to stay overnight for 3 days just so he could feed properly. And he's fine now, obviously. He's only a bit of flu, but he couldn't breathe and feed at the same time. But I was in there for 3 days, and you have to get food. You have to get food. So I went to the shops, got myself a lovely chicken and prawn paella, put it in the fridge in the ward, the island ward in the Heath.
Don't say it.
Someone ate it.
F-U-C-K.
Someone ate it. Can you believe it?
No.
I couldn't either.
Mate.
I put it in the fridge, which is in the little kitchen area for
my
parents.
Days.
And I went back about 2 hours later, hungry. I was doing the night shift. Wife had gone home to sleep because she'd been there all day.
You're a good bloke, yeah.
And it was eaten. Someone ate it.
You've snapped necks for less than that.
I was walking around looking, trying to smell parents.
Yeah. Just grabbing blokes by the throat. Let me smell your breath.
So, Tariff, if you listen to this pod, you know you
are. Mate. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Don't leave. It's like being back in uni.
I don't want to exaggerate, but
you have
actually,
name on it.
You've actually murdered people for less than that in the past,
yeah,
haven't
so
you? And got away with it.
Done nothing. Covered one of the games. The
what?
Dragons and the Ospreys and Ronnie Parade. That was on the 30th of December. So, to be honest, mate, I've had enough. I've got cabin fever now.
God, but
you know, everyone who's taken it easy in January, I'm like a volcano ready to erupt.
Are you? You're a coiled spring.
I've got lava coming everywhere. Coming out everywhere.
Right, yeah, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
So, not a great deal, lad. Been doing a vlog for Premier Sport over the Christmas period. It's called the Tom Shanks Redemption.
Oh, I get you. Now I read you.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's all right.
It's all right. So that's you've had a pretty quiet time.
Yeah, what about yourself?
Oh, Tommy, what haven't I done? Done a bit. A couple of Christmas parties.
You haven't got your hair cut, that's for sure.
Hey?
You haven't got your hair cut, that's for sure.
No, my little girl said that when I let my hair grow out, because I'm bald on top and I've got hair around the sides, they watch this, I forget what it's called, this funny kids movie they've watched, but there's a nerdy, there's an old smelly geography
Despicable
teacher
me.
In it.
I know.
Geography teacher in it, yeah, I look him as well. But I look like an old geography teacher. I need a shave.
Yeah.
I look bad, but yeah. I don't care.
No.
I've never really cared. And I
no,
I
I'll give you that. I will give you that.
Yeah. And if you've got your phone in your hands, you're going to take a picture of my bald spot. Mate, you're 10 years too late. I couldn't give a toss.
No, I know.
I actually wish I gave more of a toss.
Put your head down a little bit. Just there. Look, you're like...
Geography teacher.
It's sort of... Your jumper just goes into your hair, basically.
Yeah. It doesn't help not having a neck. But like, I went to the gym this morning, wasn't going to mention it. And I started, right, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I got about halfway through it, and I was like, I quite fancy a bowl of crunchy nut cornflakes now. So I went home. I just went home. That's much better.
Yeah.
Walked in. The girls are watching YouTube Kids, which they're not allowed to do. And I said, 3 bowls of crunchy nut cornflakes coming up. Way better than being in the gym. But if I'd stayed in the gym longer, I'd look better. But there you go. So, yeah, a couple of Christmas parties. One of the ones I liked the best was the Media Clash one, which is the company that owned Bath Life magazine and all that. But
Jane and Greg Ingham, who are my friends.
Yes.
They own that company, and they put on a lovely Christmas party, and we had a lovely time, and there was a karaoke machine, which I successfully dodged.
Unless you're steaming.
I'm not, yeah, even if you're steaming, boy.
Can
I'm
you
not.
Sing?
Can I sing? No. I can't sing, dance, play, I've got no talent. I've got very few talents in life, actually, like anything useful. Like you're practical. I'm really...
You're a wordsmith?
I'm not, though, am I?
Like, you are.
I listen to Nick Mullins and I think, that's a wordsmith. I'm not. Then I read Stuart Barnes's columns and things. I think, I write columns, but I can't write like that. You know, so I just don't know where I'm going to go in life. I think I'm knackered.
Anyway, carry on.
I'm a blagger. That was a good Christmas party, that, down in Bath. Went to, a couple of Christmas parties, which was... Yeah, thoroughly good fun. Did the live game at Chiefs against Sarries, which was good. Chiefs really put them away. That was an interesting day. And spent a bit of time at the Rico. So I was at the Rico yesterday. I was at the Rico on December 23rd. I love the Rico.
I sent Di a text yesterday to say, good result for Wasps. Thomas playing really well at the moment. And thanks for naming him after me.
Yeah.
Nothing back.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Changed, didn't he?
Nothing back.
But I think he needs one of those phones with special buttons because his hands are too big to use anything
else. Have you seen the interview he's done via Wasps TV about his son and how he was too hard on him at the start?
Brilliant.
Really good. Really honest. I love Di.
I heard rumours. I know you never know if it's true. It could be a load of rubbish. But I had rumours a couple of seasons ago that Leicester Tigers offered Di Young a blank cheque, effectively, to come in and please be DOR here. And he said, no, I've committed here, I've signed a contract, I'm staying. And I like it, and that's what I heard. So, but unless you're one of the top two clubs who are chugging along reasonably nicely, Sarries and Chiefs, are there many clubs in Europe that wouldn't want Di Young as a DOR?
How good is he around, like, to have in the squad, to have in the system?
Yeah.
You know, you want to play for him and you want to impress him. And you can't always say that about all the coaches you've had. You want to impress your teammates and you want to do it for yourself and your family, but you actually want to play for him as director of rugby. It's great.
Yeah. So I just like him.
I did have a bit of news. Reece Williams, okay.
Yeah.
You know Reece.
I know Reece.
He's got a cat.
Yeah.
Okay. He's also having his house decorated. This isn't that nice, by the way.
Oh no, decorate the cat.
I'm sorry. No. But obviously the painters were in decorating and they put a bowl or a saucer.
Oh, no, mate.
A plate.
I know what you're going to say.
And it's got petrol on it for cleaning the brushes,
right? Can we stop?
No, for cleaning the brushes. And the cat has gone along.
Yeah, and drunk the petrol.
And it's gone mad, right? It's run all up the stairs, run down the stairs. It was running up the wall. It was jumping on the furniture down. And all of a sudden then.
It's probably in agony.
All of a sudden then, the cat just stopped.
Died.
No, it ran out of petrol.
Do you hear that, Pauly? He just did the W anchor sign to Shanks. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Christmas Eve. Every year we go to the Panto with the kids in Bath. I was a bit gutted, actually, because every year it's really, really good. And this year, I've got to say, even though the aforementioned Greg Ingham, my friend, I think is still chairman of the theatre, I've got to say... And this is quite an abrasive thing to say about the Theatre Royal in Bath, the Panto. It was crap. It was really, really crap. Like, it was rubbish. There's one guy who's in it every year, two guys, the villain and the main character. And the main character.
What Panto is it to start with?
It was Peter Pan.
Okay.
But the main guy in it wasn't Peter Pan, the other guy was brilliant. He's always brilliant. And the villain, I forget all their names, but excellent.
Captain Hook.
Captain Hook, yeah, was excellent. But it was just crap, and it was really, I was gutted. I'm not gutted, I've got over it. But it's like, you're in there for about 7 hours or something, it feels like, and you want it to be fun. The kids thought it was fine, but they weren't upset about it.
What
but it
upset like, you, that the crocodile ate Captain Hook at the end? Or
yeah, it was just crap. Like, okay. It was just really poor. But
the worst bit is that Austin Healey went to Panto in London and said it was one of the best things he'd ever seen. And I got me really excited, and I went to this one and it was crap.
Oh.
I'll give it one more go next year, and then if it's crap again,
normally they're good because they do funny stuff for kids, but also there's like quite a lot of sort of layered comedy in there for adults.
But
which
yeah, exactly.
The kids don't go.
There was very little of that, and you know, another really good point that someone made is that the music, it doesn't really matter what the music is for the parents, but you want the children in the room,
yeah,
to know all the songs. So if they're doing Queen, like We Will, oh, they didn't do, you know, they're doing Queen or they're doing, you know, old stuff. We all know it, but the kids have never heard it. So they should do new stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
You want like the Greatest Showman songs.
That kind of stuff. You want stuff that kids know, they didn't do it and it was really crap. Anyway, that was fine. And Christmas Day, really nice, quiet, did nothing Christmas Day.
Who
all.
Did the turkey?
Yeah, Big Di did the turkey. But
well
my,
done, boy.
I don't want to, you know, insult any sponsors.
Was it as good as last year?
But my Traeger digital wood smoker, wood pellet smoker, broke.
What?
It broke. And my Kamado Joe was undercover in the garage, so I couldn't get it out. So I had to use an oven to do my turkey. An oven.
Gas or electric?
Electric. Fan oven. What I will say is, a friend of mine gave me a top tip. On Christmas Eve or the day before, Google Jamie Oliver's Get Ahead Gravy.
Done it. Did it. Always do it every
Chicken
year.
Chicken wings.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
And it became one of the tastiest Christmas lunches ever. The turkey was lovely.
You could eat it as a soup.
Yeah,
it's
lush.
Good.
Yeah, lush. And all the bones and all that stuff, and all the, not the bones, but all the leftovers the dogs get, they love that. But it turned into a lovely Christmas lunch, actually.
Oh, well done.
It worked very nicely.
It sounded like a nightmare when your Traeger grill didn't work. But
yeah, I mean, they're going to fix it.
You use an oven, so I knew you bloody would.
And it is.
You're not dull.
A good bit of kit, but it did break. The fan broke. So anyway, yeah, visit the in-laws, went to my folks, had a nice time. And then with the live game at Twickenham, the Quins game, you know, New Year's Eve again, quiet, because grown up now, isn't it? Got the kids to bed by 11.
I was in hospital, smashed box sets though.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you smash?
Well, Line of Duty, finished now. Reckon that's one of the best things I've ever watched.
Up to date, are you?
Yeah. You
what,
on
me?
Netflix.
Me.
It's called You.
Me.
It's about a stalker.
Is it about me then? You know what I was like in the old
days.
He's
not as good as you. He's not as prolific.
No.
And he only murdered. He only murders two.
Not as physical. Is it a documentary or a drama?
That's a drama.
Okay.
It's very good.
Is it?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's really clever. And it's a bit like Dexter in a way that you end up really liking the main character in it, who is a phenomenal stalker.
But Tom, I've always said it. Some murderers are likeable fellows. I've always said it.
Name me one. OJ?
Hitler. Because socially, great crack. Did you see those people, that couple that named their kid Adolf recently?
No.
And they were, I can't remember the story now, so it's not a good story, so I can't back it up, but they were either panned for it or not allowed or something like that. I mean, they're obviously divs, but it's like,
yeah,
you should actually be allowed to call your kid what you want. I mean, Saddam is still apparently a relatively popular name in Iraq. But
Fritzl Shanklin.
Yeah, I mean, that was his surname, but...
Well, Joseph wouldn't sound right though, would it?
Wouldn't sound as much fun, would it?
No.
I tell you what, I have watched over Xmas and New Year.
Okay.
ABC, well, it's the Poirot with John Malkovich as Poirot.
Right, okay.
BBC. I really liked it. I actually thought the final episode, there are only three, the third episode was... It went a little bit odd for me. It was almost like someone else had written the third episode. But John Malkovich, people have hammered his Belgian accent, and I don't really care about that. But I just think he's fat.
He was in Bird Box. Now that is a freaky film.
Yeah. Now, as I said on Twitter, I wasn't going to mention it, but I read the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was excited to see the film. And yowza.
Can you just clarify a couple of things for me? I mean, it's a bit like the film I Am Legend with Will Smith in, you know,
never
where the
it.
Whole... population becomes zombie-like. But...
Can't watch Will Smith films.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the film, and I had to watch it to the end. It was one of those you're just intrigued all the way through, but you never actually find out what happens and why they've got this disease where they want to kill themselves.
Yep. What do you want to know? What do you
want to clarify? Yeah, I mean, is there anything in the book that...
No, and I once...
Gives you something back.
There's this
the
famous
end is,
quote...
It abrupts from, quite soon.
There's some famous quote from some director or someone clever or famous, like, you know, any film, any movie that leaves its audience asking fundamental questions hasn't done its job. but that film is designed to leave you asking questions like what happened. And weirdly, I did enjoy the book just because I think it's a really, if you haven't seen it, read it or read it or seen it, read it or see it.
Sandra Bullock's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, she's fab. But it's just a really original idea. But I do find myself frustrated by films that leave me not knowing what went on.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So that was good. But the Poirot thing was decent.
Did you watch Luther?
I've watched one of them.
What?
No, I've just been really busy working/not working.
Didn't sound it by your diary there.
No, I haven't watched it yet, but I've got tomato ketchup, haven't I?
So yeah.
That's fine, I'll do it. But
it's good.
Yeah, but I watched the first episode and a couple of things I thought, I know we're not allowed to swear. I thought, this is crap.
Why?
Like, I love Luther.
Yeah.
But it's like when the guy with the LEDs on his mask butchers that person, and then the other guy sees him, the student guy, and he kills the student guy. And there's a crime scene outside that woman's house. And Luther just turns around and walks up the road and walks straight up to the window of the flat where there's a dead body with flies in it. It's like, why is he walked up the street straight to that window?
I think it's because of the CCTV that they see that the guy banging on the door is up the street somewhere. So
maybe.
What I found a little bit strange was when they're in the woods, okay, and they're trying to catch the killer with the LED lights.
Yeah.
And all the police are walking through and they've got the torches on. So they're obviously showing themselves. Yeah. I thought that was a bit, but I mean, we're picking faults at something that's...
Yeah, but this is a...
You don't really need to.
Yeah, but this is something that millions of people watch. And I thought the light's coming on and I watched that and I was like...
I enjoyed it.
I said out loud, that is bloody stupid.
I heard you.
And I was on my own.
Yeah.
But what else did I think was a bit substandard in that first episode? I can't remember, but it was just a bit like, come on.
All right. Did you watch SAS, Who Dares Wins?
But.
Or is it Who Dares Wins or He Who Dares?
Who Dares, not he, because it's he or she now.
Yeah.
Who Dares 2019,
Wins. 2019, women allowed to come in all ranks in the armed forces.
Well, it's all combat positions, isn't it? Yeah, so, interestingly, so Ant Middleton, the main guy, has been very vocal on Twitter and said, I disagree with women being allowed to be in the special forces because they physically can't do what men can do. And he hasn't held back. And then the first episode, he's like, guess what? The four at the back are fucking chicks. What a fucking surprise. You know,
dry your bras.
Yeah, and he's not mucking about. Like,
don't burn them, or you probably would.
It's a really interesting one because there's... I don't think anyone would question that women can be as mentally tough as men.
100%.
Of course they can. You'd argue that women who are raising kids are doing something tougher than most men will ever do. However, except us guys, because we're heroic ex-rugby players. But it's like the whole physical strength thing is a real interesting one because, I mean, I'm sure there are...
You're not snipers. You know, you're hand-to-hand combat. You're going into...
Yeah.
Actually, just quickly on this, there's something really good on Netflix called Medal of Honor. It's about all the Americans that have won Medal of Honors throughout wars, basically.
Yeah.
And there's...
Is it a documentary?
Yeah. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Why is it that I think about American soldiers winning medals of honor and I think not quite as good as British guys Cross winning it? Because they're a bit more showy and hoorah and all that. I don't know. And there's this reputation, isn't there, that the American Navy SEALs...
I think you should be a little bit biased to your home country anyway.
But they've got a reputation, haven't they? Am I wrong for being gung-ho, whereas actually in a bit they got all the gear, no idea, whereas the British Special Forces are... humble, elite.
Well, that's seen as the top, isn't it? The SAS.
SAS and SBS are the same. They do the same qualification and you either qualify for special forces
or... But they're
seen
as the elite.
Yeah, the SAS and the SBS are both seen as the elite.
Yeah.
So it's not now, that both, whichever one you go to...
Have you got
a
friend in the SBS? Is that what you're saying?
No, both.
Okay, fine.
But if you go through qualification, you now go boat or air, but you go through the same qualification.
Okay.
So it's not separate.
There we are.
So there's no way of separating who's betterest. We think we covered that, haven't we?
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a bit of a huge... I went shooting actually a couple of times.
But newfound love.
With Matt, with Powley.
Newfound love.
I just like dressing up as a country gent sometimes.
Yeah.
I love wearing a flat cap and a tweed coat. I do. And special boots. It's really nice.
New special boots?
Well, it's any chance. It's a good excuse to wear leather lined wellies. I always think. Sometimes I wear them to walk the dogs around Bath, where it's just footpaths and roads.
Kerry Sweeney loves shooting.
Does he?
Yeah. Love shooting and fishing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I could get into fishing. It's just time, isn't it?
Time on your own.
Yeah, but it's the time. You've got to have the time to do it.
Yeah. But fly fishing, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. 10 o'clock, 2 yeah, o'clock.
Not hard, is it?
No.
No.
Mm. Anyway, right, nice.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you watch Sale v Saracens?
Yeah.
Friday night?
Yeah.
Have you also seen the Steve Diamond interview?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's all about the battle between journalist and director of rugby, isn't it?
He's very confrontational, I think.
Yeah.
Very aggressive in his talk, in his the way he's speaking, his demeanour. But, if you're attacked personally, then I suppose you have a right to.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we always expect people at the cutting edge of elite sport to keep their cool the whole time. This is not excusing anybody, by the way. But if somebody writes something that they believe,
yeah.
Sam Peters is obviously a very experienced top journalist. They believe it, and they've asked people, and people have confirmed what they say. If somebody writes something personal against you, and by the way, you're a naturally confrontational human being, which Steve Diamond is, and I don't think anyone would deny that, then there is a very slim likelihood of that not turning into what you're saying now when you meet face to face. Now, you have this article which hammers Steve Diamond and talks about bullying culture and all that, and then they have a really good win, and suddenly the person is sitting there who wrote this about you, and you've had a win that no one expected you to get. And can you, you're sitting there thinking, if we're that bad, how have we won this game that no one expected us to win if I'm running that bad a ship? So why don't you blimmin' well say something now? So it's not inevitable.
It's a personality clash. It's a personal clash.
Yeah.
You've got your right to get your back up if someone has a go at you personally. I totally believe that. But I suppose there are better ways about going about it than saying, let's go outside. Because even if the way it's come across is like, let's go outside and sort it out, as men, that says to me, let's have a fight.
Yeah, of course it does.
But
however, Tom, like if you're talking about Rob Baxter, he would never do that.
Yeah, but not everyone's as calm
that's
as
what
the
I
next
mean.
Person.
So it's a different personality.
Yeah,
so
completely.
What I'm not saying is, if you write something you believe about somebody you know is aggressive and confrontational, like Steve Diamond always has been and always will be and is, and what I'm not saying is you get what you're given, because I don't believe that.
No.
I believe you have to behave in a certain way in a position of authority and power and influence like that. And I think offering someone outside, my view is, it's not the way to do it. However, it's what I'm not doing is, Wayne Rooney boots someone, gets a red card and say, well, that's part of his game. You can't take it out of him. But Steve Diamond's USP is his aggression. That's it, is his way of thinking. His abrasiveness. That is him. So it's not the only thing, it's not the only reason Sale Sharks are suddenly playing well.
No, but it's similarly to the way he coaches would be, who I would compare it to, would be someone like Sean Edwards. That sort of style of approach, and it does work.
Well, it can work.
And it does. We don't need to be like that. But equally, I've played against Steve Diamond. I've been coached by him on an England tour, England A tour. And I've been around him quite a lot. You know, he's coached the England A team and Saxons. Well, I can't remember if it's Saxons or not, but I've been around him quite a lot. And he is a very aggressive man. Like, and he's not horrible to everyone. I didn't find him horrible. But he is more overtly threatening than most other coaches. Not threatening in that he threatens you, but you think he's one of those coaches, if you told him to do one, there's a good chance he'd offer you outside, because that's how he is, right?
Old school.
He's old, yeah, but old school. But then again, you know, there are old school coaches, or there are coaches that are his age and his generation.
No, I just mean like a old school sort of persona of, we'll set this outside.
Yeah, it is old school, and there is a bit of that. But I think that he definitely could have handled it better.
Yeah,
no question.
Fine.
You right with that?
Yeah, let's not dwell on that too much. But
also, before we finish, I think if you're going to be in a position like that, then I think the way I would, you never know, but the way I would hope to react to it is, if I'm confident that what we're doing here is right, I'm behaving properly and we've got a good thing going here and we're all right, and this bloke has written something that I believe to be untrue, I almost quite like I would like to think that, you never know, but I would like to think that I would look at my staff who say, have you read this? And I'll say, that's all right. You can write what he wants. We're doing okay.
I mean,
and crack on. But once
you think about it, it's easy, isn't it?
Of course,
you calm down and you're
However, he did have time to think about it before that press conference.
A little bit, but not. You're still caught up in the motion.
Pumped from the game and all that.
Yeah. You know, it's not the next day or anything like that, is it? But what a game that was.
Ah, it's brilliant.
Mate, a couple of real good tries, which I love. The first one was the Saracens one. Mm. That movement.
Yeah.
Forwards and backs at the back play. Vinopola, what a line he hits for Strap to go through. Just draws in. It's really well worked try. Mm.
I like Solomona's tackle on Lazowski, by the way, because I thought Lazowski was scoring that.
Yeah, but everyone's an option in the back play that that Saracens pull off. You know, so I think it's a five-man line out. Vinopola's out there. I mean, what a target and what a, you know, you look at him and you think, right, he's getting the ball 100%. So, you know, you commit to tackling him because you have to commit because he's a big bloke. He opens up the hole for Strettel, pass it to Lazowski. It was a great tackle by Solomona. And then Vinopola just keeps a width on the left.
And he's scoring, isn't he?
Easy.
Gets that, he's scoring.
What I did notice was Sam James's pace.
Yep.
You see him just get on the outside of Farrell on one opportunity. But then it's brilliant, the try that Solomona scores then, because Faf de Klerk fools everyone by going left. It's in centre field ruck. If Faf de Klerk doesn't take two or three steps left, that try's not scored.
Yeah.
But he does. It causes, you know, the whole of the Saracens pack really to fold, apart from Berger. And then what a ball from Sam James on the inside.
Yeah. And you watch the Channel 5 highlight show religiously, Tommy, but we've been saying for a couple of years that if Sam James played for Saracens or Exeter, he'd have been in the England squad.
There's a few like that, though, isn't there?
Of course there are. But as Sale win and start playing better and better.
Ryan Mills, another one, potentially.
Good point.
Worcester.
But Nick Schoner, although he's been in the England squad now. But, you know, there are guys who are good. And he's good enough. He's good enough. And he's a classy player.
He's played different positions around that field. You know, he's slotted in at 10 a few times. But you don't actually see someone's pace until they've got a little bit of space. He
is
quick enough. He has a lovely 1-2 with Solomona for his try as well.
Solomona's step off his left foot. Oh, so nice, eh?
You know, it doesn't even stop him. Doesn't even take any pace out of his game whatsoever or his run. It's
I just thought that he got the Farrell yellow is an obvious yellow. The Tolofua, not quite comfortable with that being a yellow, but I think I'm wrong, as I said on the telly. I think I'm probably wrong on that. But I just think if you're standing near a ruck loitering about and there's big blokes looking to clear out, you're going to get whacked. It just looked bad because it was from the back. And I just don't agree that it was. I think it was a cheap shot. So I think yellow is probably right. I just don't quite feel comfortable with not being able to level people next to rucks. But that yellow, which is silly in the current climate, then you've got Nikosik where he's told by the ref, don't go through, goes through anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think Saracens are rattled. I think they were under the cosh because they were being outplayed. I think that's all it was. And they'll be just fine. But still think they'll probably win the league, but it was a great performance from Sale. I really enjoyed that.
What went on with Bath? 13 men on the field.
11,
sorry.
11?
Did I say I meant 11?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So
that's incredible.
Bath, someone said something. Where was I? Oh, it was this morning. Oh, I wasn't going to mention it in the blooming gym, wasn't I? And I was chatting to a chum in the gym about 4 o'clock, so you got early session, yeah? And half seven. And he said, Bath are exceptionally good at finding a way to lose. And I'm not sure that's entirely true, but this season, last season, it has on occasion been true. And it's an interesting one. I mean, the Ross Batty red card for the neck roll, that's an easy call these days, can't do that.
No. I couldn't see from a wide angle whether Alibru was offside or not.
We couldn't see from the angles, no.
No.
But you've got to back the official who's right on it. That's the point. So if you don't know, back the ref. That's my view. Then I look at the yellow.
But you want to see that angle to judge for yourself as well.
Really?
Because you don't see the high angle. And
he gave it the full he-man
afterwards.
From
first glance, he looked onside to me. You know, I think he'd be further across and he'd make the tackle earlier if he was offside. But you can't see, so.
See him do the big He-Man celebration afterwards, then get binned. He gave it the full double bicep muscle pose. Have some of that, binned, game over. Youcher. So that's one that we can't judge on, so we back the ref. Max Lahiff, yellow card for not rolling away. He wasn't lying on the ball. His arms were locked out, supporting his own weight. I can only assume that one of his planted feet was preventing that ball coming out, because otherwise he was trapped, but he got himself off the floor, wasn't lying on it. So I looked at that and thought, is that a yellow? I'm not convinced. And I look at the scrum.
I think it's the time on the clock, though. It's a factor of penalty after penalty, because let's not forget there's penalties going on. There's people getting yellow carded.
Yeah. But the scrum as well, situation with Nogueira, I am just not convinced that he collapsed that scrum. And I think if I'm watching it and I've played forever, I could be wrong, and I'm not convinced, I think you got to reset that instead of yellow card him. That's what I think. I'm just not convinced he collapsed that. I think that there's every chance the three went down, or it was just one of those physics-based fallings over. But I don't know. I didn't feel Bath were hard done by, because they weren't clean enough when they needed to be. They weren't whiter than white when they needed to be. And who better to score the winner than Bryce Heem? He's just an absolute dominator.
If you can't score against 11 men, then you've got no hope.
Yeah. But I was thinking, because it's such an easy run-in for him, that second try for Bryce Heem, I'm just thinking, if I get chucked that ball, I would definitely drop that.
Leicester v Gloucester. Leicester are back.
Yeah, great.
I mean, we all love Jordan Murphy. We want some good news to come out of Leicester, don't we?
Yeah.
He signed as full-time coach now, which is great. And now, off the back of that, a good win against Gloucester, who are form team at the moment.
And best player on the field. I know George Ford got man of the match.
Who are you going to say?
Dan Cole. Exceptional. Getting better and better and better since Eddie Jones dropped him. He was absolutely exceptional. And Gareth Evans, who played in the back row. Grobler, Mostert, Evans, who played for Gloucester.
Yeah.
Gloucester just didn't put it together as a team. They just really didn't. They don't look anywhere near as threatening overall as a unit without Cipriani. And it's an unoriginal thing to say, but it is true. But Gareth Evans was great. Grobler and Mostert in the second row were great. They were really good games.
I watched the Wasps-Northampton game.
Yeah, I went to that. Two pies and a plate of chips in the media room. Very tasty. No,
what was in your pie?
Steak pies. I had two steak pies. Really nice.
Knew you would. But difficult one to call, really, before the game, because two teams that aren't really hitting the form this season that we know. But Wasps won it. I mean, a little bit lucky with one of the tries. Who was it? It was
the LaRue try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that...
I mean, it's a 22 dropout, because Reinhardt has gone down on the ball. There's downward pressure on the ball. But his reaction and the way he gets up and offloads the ball.
It's the question. If they go 100 metres and score from that off from him, from there, and they get called back for him having put the ball down, and it's a 5-metre scrum to Wasps,
but
what does everyone say?
Okay,
then?
But the chance, that's a difficult one, because the chance of him scoring a try 100 metres after that is very, very incredibly slim.
But it's not about probability, it's about technicality. And I agree with you, put the ball down, I think that's no try. But at no point does he even claim, ref, have a look at it, I put the ball down.
Yeah.
So, but it's just like, Martin Bayfield, by the way, said this, so this is not my analogy, but I think it's a really good one. It's like when a winger scoots in past the last defender, down the outside, dives on the floor, the ball touches the floor, but then he jumps up and tries to run it in under the post, and the ref says, no, you put it down in the corner first, it hit the deck first over there, you got the tougher conversion. It's just like that. So whether he put it down or not intentionally, he put it down.
I do agree with your point of not enough was made by the Northampton players to say.
Reinhardt never said a word.
He's touched it.
Yeah.
So
really bizarre.
Real strange. Yeah. I thought De Jong had a really good game.
Oh, he's so good, man. Did you
see? Really nice little grubber through. It's in that area between sort of your winger that's hanging back and your frontline defence. So
when Sopawanga puts it through.
Yeah.
For De Jong.
Is it Sopawanga? No, De Jong kicks himself.
Oh, did he? And then chased it?
Chased it and collects it himself.
Oh, does he?
But it's that distance that isn't too deep. It's a bit like a chip over the top, but used as a grubber, you know, to pick up on a bounce. But
I just want to say this. Think of a couple of the great fullbacks. Think of Mike Brown. Think of Matt Perry.
Lee Halfpenny.
Lee Halfpenny. Think of Lee Byrne, right? Do they do an RC Tuala there, or do they claim
I'm looking at that, and he just doesn't want to make contact. I mean, that's a brave collision, because if you're taking that ball, you know, he tries to grab out the air and turn so he doesn't have to make contact. But
mate, he's massive.
There's going to be a collision there no matter what.
He's massive.
So you have to accept that. He doesn't want a collision and takes a real easy option.
Or you get in the air and get your right knee up.
It's about who's braver. No, you can't jump in the air at that ball because it's sort of chest height. You know, it's just plucked out of the air. But it's whoever's braver, and De Jong was far braver.
Yep.
And scores it.
And I tell you what,
but similarly,
Matt Perry would have had a head-on collision there rather than do that.
Yeah, correct. 100%. But similarly, LaRue is a bit like that as well. He
can be. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like to go down. I mean, he doesn't like to make a tackle and go on the floor. He'd rather just hold someone up, get out of the way.
Austin Healey made a great point in comms, which a great stat. 80% defender for when there's a line break, he's an 80% defender for the Springboks and below 50 for Wasps.
Really?
Mm.
Okay.
Interesting, isn't it?
Very.
Interesting. Yeah.
Very. But it was a nice pass from LaRue for Bassett for his try.
Yeah, it's lush.
You know, potentially could have stepped inside Bigger because Bigger was chasing really hard across. Actually does really well
but
to get
out. What a pass, though. Just so easy.
I know.
Beautiful.
But Thomas Young, again, has another good game.
He's...
It's so... I feel really a little bit sorry for him. Not because of the way he's playing, because I think he's a great player, but just in terms of who he's got in front of him at the moment, and it's such a hard position in Wales.
But
Navidi's back.
To sum up Thomas Evans, he is...
Young.
Thomas Young. Who's Thomas Evans? Thomas is a model. Tom Young. Thomas Young. He is absolutely outstanding at everything.
Yeah.
No, he's not a great line-out forward. There you go.
Or
not very tall.
Great
not very good goal kicker. He's got everything you want.
But Wasps were really good over the ball. You could see that as well, because you look at some games and not every team competes, basically. They fan the field so that there's just as many defenders as there are attackers. But Wasps really competed heavily at the breakdown, mostly through Thomas Young and Joe Launchbury.
Launchbury made such a difference.
I know.
From minute one, made such a difference. And not just knocked out 80 minutes. There you go. Massive unit. I'll do 80 minutes. He would have been man of the match if it hadn't been Thomas Young. But Thomas Young was so good.
Reinhardt, though. One of the former scrum halves.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's in the same league as Faf de Klerk. And Reinhardt was better the other week. But
you watch him off
Klerk,
that base. You watch him off that base of the scrum, though. I mean, the scrum's collapsed, so your back row should have a little bit more yardage on him. He gets on the outside of Thomas Young, which draws in Sopawanga.
Yeah.
What I will say, De Jong gets in front of Sopawanga. So if he's slightly behind him, then he can adjust.
Right.
But he can't adjust because he's in front of him.
Right.
And then is it Dingwall hits?
Fraser Dingwall. Yeah. Nice line.
Really nice line to score. But it's difficult because you're in the middle of a field there. You want to come off the line because you want to cut down attackers' space. But you can't be in front of your inside defender because if the play is overrun or if it's a weak tackle, you can't adjust, get back to make or to jam in. And you saw that with De Jong, just miles away from
Dingwall. We're jamming.
Yeah.
But Sopawanga jammed in off an early line out as well off the tail. So it was something Saints had spoken about. He jammed in with that and he jammed
absolutely
in.
Absolutely no need, was there?
No need. And Reinhardt is super quick, but Thomas Young would have got him. He might have made a yard, but it had got him. And Sopawanga stepped in again. So I think there's a tendency there that other teams will have seen and will target. So they'll have to look at that, Tommy.
Do you want a little bit of a Pro 14 roundup?
I want to know about Ken Owens, the Sheriff, playing number 8.
Yeah, did well.
Did he?
Yeah, he did, mate. Carried well off the base, tackled well. You know, you could sort of see him playing in the back row because that's his sort of game at hooker, isn't it? Just take away the throne, really. He's all over the park. He just he gives everything. He smashes people, runs his weight better than anyone. Probably won't be there full time, mind, but certainly did a job. Yeah. But big result was Benetton beating Glasgow. Glasgow had opportunities as well.
Yeah.
They miss a kick in front of the post. It's about 30, 40 metres out.
But we used to slag off right off the old Italians on this pod.
Massively. But they've
you
come
did,
good.
I never did. I think they're the best team in the world, but you always did.
Staying scores a nice try, but you know Glasgow really haven't played that well recently. They got beaten by Edinburgh twice in the derbies over Christmas. But Scarlets beat the Dragons.
Oh, Stain. He's a dirty bugger, isn't he?
Yeah. Leinster hammered Ulster.
Yeah.
40 points. No matter what team Leinster put out.
Yeah, class of the class.
First string, second string, the personnel.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who they've got. They all play the same way.
They're getting it right. They're in that.
Conor O'Brien scores a really nice try. Played centre. Beats like five Ulster players to get to the line. But Ulster really poor defensively.
Mm.
Gibson Park, what a great signing he's been at nine for them. Munster beat Conor. Peter Armani scores a 500th try in the Pro 14. Yeah.
That'll do.
Nothing that special, really.
Not really. I mean, but it's cool to score it.
Yeah. I tell you who looks really good for Conor. A guy called Tom Farrell.
Faz.
Centre. Okay.
Faz.
There's also a Farrell that plays for Munster called Chris Farrell, who's absolutely massive.
Yeah, he's a unit.
But Tom Farrell played really well. And Connacht were a little bit unlucky, really, not to do a great job. Edinburgh hammered the Southern Kings. Van der Merwe, winger, South African. He's going to be picked up internationally soon by someone.
Yeah.
More likely Scotland through residency, I think. I don't know if he's got any relatives there. But
get him in.
Get him in.
Again, he's played really well all
got
the way
good,
through this
got good wingers
Christmas
in Scotland,
period.
Though, mate.
Yeah.
Good wingers.
Yeah. Ospreys beat the Blues. Tactical kicking battle that was. Sam Davis loves to kick.
Yeah.
That's something like 41 kicks that Ospreys do in open play.
Wowchers.
Scott Williams wriggles through Josh Navidi tackle. Looks really good.
Yeah.
He's going to feature so much. I think him and John Davis are the best centre partnership Wales have got. I think Scott Williams, I reckon, is better than Hadley Parks. And at the moment, Hadley Parks, is, I suppose, has the 12 jersey.
Incumbent. He's a 12. Incumbent. So who would you play at 10?
I would play Gareth Anscombe.
Okay.
At the moment. I mean, Dan Bigger defensively and aerially is...
Me too with Anscombe at the moment.
Is great.
I just like Rhys Patchell.
He's not been playing much recently. He's had concussion and he's not really... It must be difficult. I've not really suffered from much concussion, but it's going to play on your brain, isn't it?
Without excuse the pun.
But, you know, when you've got to make a tackle, you're thinking, right, am I going to get another one now?
Well, I know that
I
mean,
right
a load of shoulder operations on both sides played on my mind all the time, and that's way less important.
Exactly. So he's not back at the moment. Hopefully we'll see him back soon, but whether there's enough time for him to find some form before the Six Nations. But at the moment, I would certainly start with Anscombe and have Bigger on the bench, and we'll certainly see Bigger feature because Anscombe could always go to 15 as well. Depends a lot on Lee Halfpenny at the moment because he's got his own concussion issues and he's in the specialist. Gareth Anscombe, attacking wise.
On the subject of concussion, just I know you started listening to it. Is it called Gladiator from the New York Times? Is it New York
it
Times? Podcast, 6 episodes about Aaron Hernandez, just a really sad story, really well told. But just, probably, we'll say a bit of a wake-up call. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But it is a fascinating story about, you know, the impact that contact sports can have on potentially have on your brain and your behaviour.
Yeah. It's not just sport, though. You're talking about, to me earlier, about being in a rock band.
A dancer or a rocker or a jet skier or, you know, the brain is a delicate bit of kit.
Chess player. No, not chess player.
No, not chess player. Break dancer. But yeah, delicate bit of kit. But it's a really good podcast, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I am really enjoying
it.
Finished
so. It now.
We better get on some questions.
Oh gosh,
Big
okay.
Dave, we've had loads of questions.
Right. Okay.
Purely because I put out any questions for us.
We put it out. Yeah.
Gavin Coxhead says,
"Pardon,
who Wasps miss more, Cipriani or Wade?"
Cipriani. Easy as that.
Why didn't Campagnaro get more opportunities at Exeter, and how good will he be for Wasps? No, I really rate Michele Campagnaro.
Thing is about Michele Campagnaro, sounds exotic, but it's actually Michael Campbell.
He is a very good player. We've seen him. I think we saw him score a couple of tries, a brace against England a few years ago in the Six Nations. Looked really good. Really big threat, ball in hand. But I suppose at Exeter, he's a centre more than a winger. Positionally, yeah. I think he gets himself a little bit lost on the wing. But he's a strike runner. And I think we will see more of him at Wasps. I mean, the reason he didn't get a chance at Exeter is because that team is fairly settled.
Yeah.
As it is.
Hard to break
Slade is now playing 13 for Exeter. When Michele was there, Slade slotted in a little bit at 10, a little bit at 12.
Yeah. I think just there are too many good players there.
The TMO decision at Welford Road, for the disallowed try.
Yeah.
What are you on about?
Disagree with that.
Why was it not a try?
Disagree with Rosie on that one.
Should have been Daniel Wright.
Should have been a TRY time, Eddie.
But what was the TMO thinking?
I think
that he lost control of the ball?
Yeah, lost contact with the ball, I think.
But he didn't lose contact with the ball, though, did he? His fingers were still on it.
I disagree with that decision. And it's denied a young player a hell of a try, which isn't the point, but it's just a shame.
Okay, how is Bigger measuring up? That's from Dave Sampson.
I actually think Bigger's playing really well.
Yeah.
Last couple of weeks played really well. I do enjoy watching how competitive he is, actually.
He is very competitive, and he's very good at playing the percentages. He's very good at tactical kicking. He's very good in the air. He's very good defensively as well. Possibly hasn't quite got that back line moving as functionally as it could be.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's certainly one to stick with, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's actually starting to find a bit of form. Looks decent, looks good. Took him a while, but the forward pack functioning a bit better helps, and their forward pack is not going great guns at the moment.
Pat Fisher wants to know what's happened to Glasgow Warriors. We've spoken a little bit about that, but I suppose Glasgow and Scarlets, right, they want to play the same way. They play with a lot of width, they play with a lot of tempo, and if your defence is on button, if your line speed is quality, if you're slowing Glasgow ball down, then it is actually quite easy to stop them playing.
And yeah.
We've seen that. Edinburgh did it a couple of times during the festive period. You know, when the ball goes wide, they want to put it behind runners, they want to put it behind other runners. And if the pass isn't crisp, if it's not in front, balls are checked, then the line speed defensively is just going to kill you. And we've seen that. But there's too many good players at Glasgow for them to be a poor team for
much longer. Right, last question, Tom. Make it a good one, yeah?
Okay. Stand Up Bath, last one on Twitter, wants to know, which defence in the Prem or Pro 14 would you least want to play against and why?
On their day, Saracens, because they're really good. Or Leinster, because they're really good. On their day, if everyone's flat out, Saracens have got the most oppressive defence I've seen this season. Against Gloucester at Allianz Park, defensively, they were just unbelievable.
I would say Leinster in the Pro 14. Just because there's not many weaknesses there at all.
They're
really good
there.
Over the ball. They're really physical. It was always difficult, mine, playing against the Ospreys. And it's still sort of continued now, even from when I was playing. You know, defence is still a massive, massive strength for them. And, you know, every team prides themselves on defence, but not all teams are as good as others.
Yeah.
The Ospreys are very good. That's it, mate.
Hey, good stuff. See you next week, everyone.
Yeah.
Hope you liked it.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.